Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, United States of Distraction Media Manipulation in Post-Truth America and What We Can Do About It, is a nonfiction critique of contemporary American media, politics, and public discourse. Written by Mickey Huff and Nolan Higdon, with a foreword by Ralph Nader, the book examines how corporate media, political messaging, and digital disinformation contribute to confusion, polarization, and weakened democratic accountability. It is closely tied to the author's work with Project Censored and their broader interest in media literacy, public interest journalism, and critical thinking. Rather than treating post-truth politics as a temporary anomaly, the book frames it as the outcome of long-term structural problems in media ownership, news framing, and public education. Its purpose is twofold: to explain how manipulation operates and to suggest practical ways citizens can respond through better information habits, civic engagement, and support for independent journalism. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how corporate media systems help sustain post-truth politics. A central argument of the book is that media manipulation is not just the result of isolated falsehoods, but of broader institutional patterns in American news culture. Huff and Higdon focus on how concentrated media ownership, commercial incentives, and access-driven journalism can narrow what is reported and how it is framed. In this view, the problem is structural when media organizations depend heavily on advertising, elite sources, and market logic. They are less likely to challenge dominant political and corporate power. The book connects this to the rise of post-truth politics by showing that repeated distortion, omission, and sensationalism can make it harder for the public to distinguish informed reporting from propaganda. This topic matters because it shifts the discussion away from blaming audiences alone. Instead, the authors argue that media environments themselves can produce confusion and passivity, especially when the press fails to act as a strong fourth estate. The result is a public sphere where manipulation is normalized and accountability becomes weaker. Secondly, distraction as a political strategy, not just a media problem. The book treats distraction as an active strategy used to redirect public attention away from structural issues, not merely as a byproduct of busy news cycles. Rather than assuming audiences are simply overwhelmed, Huff and Higdon show how political actors and media institutions can benefit from keeping debate focused on spectacle, outrage, and personality conflict. This kind of distraction reduces the space available for sustained attention to inequality, war, corruption, censorship, and other systemic concerns. The authors use the concept to explain why public discourse often feels fragmented. The issue is not only misinformation, but also the continual diversion of attention from matters that require serious scrutiny. This framing is important because it highlights power. Distraction works best when it obscures who benefits from confusion and who pays the cost. By naming distraction as a tactic, the book encourages readers to ask what is being left out of coverage, why certain stories dominate the news agenda, and how political theater can function as a substitute for democratic debate. Thirdly, the fourth estate, censorship, and the weakening of journalistic accountability. Another major theme is the decline of the press as an independent check on power. The book argues that when journalism becomes too close to political and corporate elites, it loses the critical function traditionally assigned to the fourth estate. Huff and Higdon draw on the Project Censored tradition to show how important stories can be ignored, softened, or buried even without overt state censorship. This is a key distinction. The problem is not only direct suppression, but also self-censorship, routine gatekeeping, and selective coverage shaped by institutional pressure. The authors suggest that this weakened press helps create ideal conditions for authoritarian tendencies, because public scrutiny is dulled while official narratives gain more room to circulate. This topic is especially significant because it connects media theory to democratic practice. A healthy democracy depends on journalists who can investigate power, but the book argues that contemporary media often struggles to do so consistently. Restoring the fourth estate, then, becomes a civic necessity rather than a professional ideal. Fourthly, media literacy and critical thinking as tools of democratic resistance. The book does not stop at diagnosis. It also emphasizes the importance of media literacy as a practical response to manipulation. Huff and Higdon argue that readers need tools to evaluate sources, recognize framing, and question how stories are selected and presented. This is more than advice to fact-check individual claims. Their broader point is that citizens must learn to analyze media systems, incentives, and narratives in order to understand how persuasion works. In that sense, media literacy becomes a democratic skill, one that helps people resist being reduced to passive consumers of information. The book presents critical thinking as both intellectual and civic practice. If people can better identify propaganda, omission, and emotional manipulation, they are more able to participate meaningfully in public life. This topic stands out because it makes the book constructive rather than purely critical. It acknowledges the scale of the problem, but it also insists that education can help rebuild informed public judgment. The authors frame this as a collective responsibility shared by schools, journalists, activists, and ordinary readers. Lastly, independent journalism and public interest communication as paths toward repair. The final major theme is the need to rebuild a media culture centered on public interest rather than corporate profit. Huff and Higdon argue that independent journalism, inclusive reporting, and fact-based public communication are essential if democracy is to recover from the corrosive effects of disinformation and spectacle. Their emphasis is not simply on exposing what is wrong, but on identifying what a healthier media environment should look like. That includes supporting outlets committed to accountability, broadening whose voices are heard, and treating information as a public good rather than a commodity. This matters because the book does not present democratic repair as a purely individual task. It suggests that media reform requires institutions, habits, and collective action. By linking truth-telling to civic renewal, the authors make the case that journalism should help people understand power, not merely entertain or polarize them. This topic gives the book its forward-looking dimension. It is not only a warning about manipulation, but also a framework for imagining better information systems and a more resilient democratic culture. In conclusion, United States of Distraction is best suited for readers interested in media studies, political communication, journalism criticism, civic education, and contemporary democracy in the United States. It will also be valuable for educators, students, activists, and general readers who want a serious account of how propaganda, framing, and disinformation shape public life. One of its main strengths is that it does not treat post-truth politics as a mystery or a purely digital problem. Instead, it connects current confusion to deeper structural issues in media ownership, journalistic practice, and public attention. That gives the book a wider scope than many books that focus only on fake news or social media alone. It also stands out because it combines critique with practical remedies, especially around media literacy, independent journalism, and civic responsibility. Readers looking for a concise but pointed analysis of why public discourse has become so unstable will find it especially useful. Its value lies in showing that democratic repair depends not only on better facts, but on stronger institutions, more critical readers, and a media culture willing to challenge power rather than amplify it. If you would like to support Mickey Huff, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.